How the views of former President Trump will get back into social media one way or another. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. In just over 2 hours, Facebook's oversight board will render its decision on whether Donald Trump gets to go back onto his Facebook and Instagram accounts. Those were shut down after the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. In the meantime, as Marketplace's Nova Safo reports, Trump has launched a new blog as a workaround.
Donald Trump's new blog on his website has tweet-like missives from the former president, which others can share on Twitter and Facebook. The blog went live yesterday. While Trump aides have teased the impending launch of a new social media platform, they were quick to clarify that the new blog is not that platform. There have been multiple reports saying Trump is interested in starting his own media company, that after the Facebook and Twitter bans went into effect following the Capitol insurrection. Both companies cited risks of Trump inciting further violence. Since then, Trump has gotten around the bans by doing interviews on friendly news outlets and by emailing statements to reporters. Meanwhile, the social media company's decisions, Twitter's is a permanent ban, have drawn criticism from Republican lawmakers and energized efforts to reform social media regulations. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
We're also covering emerging details of an international system to certify that travelers are all vaccinated up. Marketplace Morning Report podcast later on, if you miss our coverage of that on the air. Markets, stock index futures are up this morning. The Dow future up 86 points now, 0.3%. The S&P future is up 0.4%. The NASDAQ future up 0.6%. Interest rates are slightly lower than one day ago, 1.61% for the benchmark 10-year rate. Today, Cinco de Mayo is one of the biggest days of the year for avocado sales in the U.S. Trade groups predict Americans will buy 60 to 70 million pounds this week. Sales of aguacates have run especially strong during the pandemic. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
Avocados used to be a rare purchase for Katie O'Shea in Chicago, reserved for the occasional party guacamole bowl. But since she's been working from home...
I personally like it either on like chili or on tacos or the millennial stereotype on toast.
But it's not just millennials who drove a 7% increase in demand for avocados last year, says Javier Akiwa with the World Avocado Organization. Americans have been cooking at home more and looking for small luxuries.
I call the avocado the sexiest product in a supermarket.
Prices were pretty stable through the pandemic after spiking in 2019, though Ryan Hurley in Cleveland found one pitfall as his shopping habits changed.
We started getting all of our groceries by curbside, and the avocados we got were like kind of consistently disappointing.
But with consumers spending more time in grocery stores and restaurants, consumption of avocados is expected to continue to increase. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
60 years ago this month, something momentous happened that changed art forever. It happened in New York City, but not at a museum or an art gallery. Pop art popped in a department store window for anyone to see walking down the sidewalk. It wasn't the mannequins with teen dresses. It was the work propped up behind the mannequins, work by a guy named Andy Warhol. Art critic Blake Gopnik, author of the comprehensive Warhol biography, picks up the story from May 1961.
He is invited to do the window dressing for the windows at Gunther Jekyll department store. And the amazing kind of eureka moment for him is when he realizes, my God, I could take these props and turn them into fine art if I just show them in a gallery. And of course, that was meant to shock, and it did shock, because what happened is people just saw them as pieces of commerce that were being put into galleries, and that really freaked them out.
One of them is a drawing in part of, it looks like the Pepsi-Cola logo. You've got, it looks like almost a silk screen of a nose job ad. And it's that kind of stuff that Warhol was starting to frame as not just advertising dreck, but art.
Yeah, but what's funny is that as window dressing, it would have all looked pretty normal, you know, fun, light, lively stuff to get girls to buy clothes. It was only when it left the window and went into the gallery that people were shocked. What was amazing was to say, no, this is fine art.
But it didn't go right to the fine art galleries. It was a process.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking April 1961 when Warhol first shows these in a department store window. And it's not till July 1962 that he has his first solo show of this kind of work. It wasn't even this work exactly. It was his famous Campbell soup cans. So it takes, you know, more than a year for this transition to happen. But I think you can really say that Warhol at this moment in 1961 is the first person to really understand what pop art is going to be when it becomes a real artistic movement.
And look, when he gets one of his, if not his first gallery show, this is the one in Los Angeles. I mean, some people like it, but some critics just think it's a big joke.
Yeah, there's a great quote from Roy Lichtenstein, Warhol's colleague in pop art. He said, "It was hard to get a painting that was despicable enough so that no one would hang it. The one thing everyone hated was commercial art." So guess what Warhol and Roy Lichtenstein did? They realized, hey, if we show commercial art, we can actually have impact. We can do something new.
Art critic Blake Gopnik, a contributor to the New York Times, is author of Warhol, the comprehensive biography. The paperback version is out this week. Blake, thank you.
Always a pleasure, David.
A recent statistical analysis from the University of Chicago finds Andy Warhol is the most important modern American artist, according to auction prices, published writing, and other metrics. This in a world where economists choose the art. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.